right. A few weeks back, we spoke to cybersecurity expert John McLaughlin about staying safe online. And experts say this week in particular, cyber criminals will be waiting to pounce as discount hungry customers look to get their hands on online Black Friday deals. Experts predicting all time highs of online shopping traffic due to COVID-19. And so they're also seeing, equal amounts of cybersecurity attempts. So giving us some advice on how to stay safe online, we're joined now by CEO of Law Trust, Mason Maheri. A very good morning to you, Mason. Thanks so much for joining us. Mason, can you hear me? No, I'm going to pass.
Yes, you can.
Good. Hello. Good. All right. So what makes this year's Black Friday different then from past years?
You know, I think the biggest change for us is we've all become super comfortable with the digital channel in the last while, and that is thanks to COVID. You know, all kinds of businesses have been forced to work from home. Everybody has got used to shopping behind their computers, and there might be a slight reluctance to still standing in queues and being in crowds inside the stores, you know. So that is why we're expecting an absolute boom in cyber shopping, not only around Black Friday, but for the whole of the Christmas season.
Absolutely. I mean, if I look at my shopping habits since March, definitely. I mean, items that I never would have bought online because I didn't need to. It wasn't necessarily convenient. I really have become an online shopper, and I'm not sure that I have necessarily taken the time to investigate the safest way to be doing that. And we know, of course, that the threat of cyber crime. What are the most common cyber attacks currently, and particularly that we need to be aware of, particularly in light of Black Friday and, as you say, coming up to the festive season?
Well, I think the one biggest thing that everybody has to watch out for, and that is that it is so easy to impersonate people and websites when you're online. Sure. You know, I think that's a general comment, not just a Black Friday comment. Mm. You know, it really is easy to be somebody else. The fraudsters have also got very comfortable with cyber tools and all these things over the last while, because they've also been forced to work more from home than actually physically going and stealing things. You know, so the primary concern that I have is identity of people and websites on the internet. That means we need to watch out for fake sites, and it means you've got to know how to look for a fake site. So one of the first things that you have to do is make sure that it's a secure site you're shopping from. And you do that by looking for the SSL certificate on the site. So if you look up at the top of the browser where you type in the URL for a site, you should see a padlock there. If there is not a padlock there, you should probably not be spending money with that site. If there is a padlock and your browser has not complained that this may be a fraudulent site, it means somebody, like a company like Law Trust, has actually checked that that URL really belongs to a real company.
Right.
You know, that is so important to do that. And good shopping sites should have everything behind an SSL certificate.
So just tell us again. So for example, if I go to, let's say, Takealot, for example, I go onto their website, what should I be seeing?
You should be seeing a padlock, you know. So you'll see the little, if you're working on a computer, yep, computer browser, you should be seeing a little yellow padlock that appears in the taskbar at the top. Definitely when you are paying. So that thing is called the SSL connection.
Oh, yes, I know the thing you mean, yeah.
There's some crypto that's appearing there. And the browser has been pre-programmed to know if it's getting to a trustworthy site or not, because there are companies out there that act as a identity bureau service that actually check these URLs and they issue those little padlocks. It's called a digital certificate to that website. And really, the security norm across the world is that any good company should have an SSL certificate on their website, because it proves their identity to the public and to their business. You know, that is really 101 of business security, and consumers have to look for that. It has to be there.
Okay, great. So we're looking out for that little yellow padlock. What about the ways in which we are purchasing? I mean, very often you're given the option to pay to put your credit card details in, to put your EFT details in, to put your bank details in. What would you suggest is the preferred way of doing that, the safest way of doing that?
So I think the first one, and maybe just a step before we get to that, there's another element to look at as well when it comes to this identity. And we're quite used to, and it's leading into payment now, but we've heard about phishing emails. But again, the IT industry tends to make up these weird words like phishing. You know? What is happening is somebody is impersonating an identity again, and they're sending an email from somebody that they impersonate. And it could be a bank, or it could be anything like that. On Black Friday especially, it may not just be phishing emails. There might be special offers on social media. You know, and as you say, we're all looking for these special offers.
Yeah.
And in there is this link which goes to a shop, and that could very definitely be a fake site. You know, so you've got to start looking at the URL, look for that SSL certificate, realize it's not just phishing emails, it's all kinds of communication that are coming to you that may be fake. You know, so the rule of thumb here for all of us is we've got to be streetwise. You know, you've got to be looking for things that are too good to be true. Try and have a look at which site are you going to. You know, is it a URL that you recognize? You know, you've got to start checking these kind of things. This is especially important when it gets to payment information.
Mm.
You know, the combination of where are you actually shopping? Is there an SSL certificate which also encrypts your payment information you're putting it across? And the third step of the mechanism that you're using to pay, you know, all of these things come together and make it easy or difficult for attackers to steal your money. For myself, I prefer to use a credit card when I'm shopping online, because there just are some more protective mechanisms that the banks have in place for credit cards above debit cards. And definitely EFT is not my favorite way to do, you know. So the credit card security mechanisms will do things like send me a message to my phone, for example, and say, am I authorizing this purchase?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So the banks have done many steps in the credit card world already to fix that. If you are going to use a different payment mechanism, it's important that you look at all the other factors as well. Really try and make sure that you are shopping from a more reputable place. It may be inconvenient, but even if you see a special offer in social media, rather go to their website and type in the URL and then go search for the special offers on the website. You know, that's better than following a link that may be taking you somewhere else. You know?
Okay,
those are streetwise kind of practical measures that you can do.
Yeah. Mason, I want to go to some of the questions that we've got coming in on the WhatsApp line. And if you are just joining us this morning, my guest is Mason Meharry, who's Chief Solutions Director at Law Trust. We're talking about staying safe, particularly in light of Black Friday, but really just staying safe online and talking cybersecurity. And obviously, we're coming into Christmas. A lot of us are perhaps choosing to do our Christmas purchases online also. Val has sent in a message to say, morning, SJ. I'm presently on the Weather SA website. The padlock is black, not yellow. Oh, you're talking about that. Oh, I see. You're talking about that padlock.
And it's a good point. It may appear different on different mechanisms. You know,
okay.
So for example, the phone browsers don't show it quite the same. You know, so where the traditional yellow padlock would come from, you know, that would be the classic Internet Explorer browser on a computer.
Right.
But if you're browsing off a mobile phone, if you're using Chrome, if you're using Safari, it'll be slightly different.
Ah, okay.
So you might have to learn a little bit more about the tools that you're using.
Yeah.
But a black padlock doesn't matter. You know?
Okay.
What does matter is if they've made their own padlock, their own digital certificate, so no one has verified their identity, then your browser is going to complain, you know, and you've got to listen to it. So if the browser says this may be a fraudulent website, you know, then don't go there.
Don't go there, yeah.
Really, you've got no defenses then.
Okay, thanks, Val, for highlighting that. That's a really good point. SJ, please ask your guest, surely a good fraudster can also fake the padlock or SSL or not so? Good question. Thanks for that.
So it's a very good question, and the answer is it is very, very difficult to fake that because the SSL technology uses crypto. You know, so we've been talking a lot about crypto in recent years with all kinds of digital money and Bitcoin and all of these things that use cryptographic mechanisms as a foundational part of security. You know? So we're not going to explain all of that now, but it really is cryptographic keys that have these super strong handshakes to make connections, and it's almost impossible to eavesdrop. Now, where the magic happens in SSL is that the browser vendors meet these bureaus, these identity bureaus, we call them certificate authorities, that check identity on the internet, and they actually pre-program the keys for the certificate authorities into the browsers. So the browsers will know if you're at a site that really has been checked or not.
Mm.
And because of the underlying crypto, it's an almost foolproof mechanism. You know, nothing is perfect in the world, you know, but this is a fantastic built-in defense that you have, and you've got to look for it.
Tell me something, Mason. The most common or the more popular online retail sites, like I'm thinking of a Takealot or the big brands, one would assume that they are putting in a lot of money to make sure that their customers are safe and that they're, that there are options and that their cyber, that cyber attacks they are trying to protect us online and keep us as safe as possible. But what about smaller, more independent retailers? Presumably they're not doing the same. They don't have that money to spend when it comes to that. Does that necessarily mean that we're not as safe if we were to use, and I certainly would never discourage anyone from shopping local and using an independent retailer, but what are we less safe using smaller brands?
Not at all. So I think the beauty of the internet and the kind of security that we're talking now is it's very inexpensive for businesses.
Right.
SSL certificates to have your website or your portal identified, would probably cost anywhere between 1,000 rand and maybe at the high end 7,000 rand,
okay,
depending on the level of assurance.
Mm.
So it really is something that's in reach for all kinds of retailers. Mm. On top of that, where they are taking payments with credit cards and things like that, they are busy using services from other larger companies that do the payment processing that also have the security in place. So I think the most important thing, though, is in this specific season, people are looking for fantastic deals. And you've got to remember that, as always, if it's too good to be true, it might just be too good to be true.
Yeah.
So very important that you stay streetwise. And I think maybe there's a couple of other security tips as well that everybody must just remember. I think make sure when you're shopping online that you've updated all your software. Get the patches, okay, get the updates on your mobile phone, your tablets, your make certain that you make it as difficult as possible for attackers to put malware on your machine. And one of the most important things you can do is keep everything up to date. And then a second one is, it is a bit of a schlep, but go through your bank account statements. Have a look and see what's coming off your bank accounts, even your cell phone records. If during this time somebody has taken a subscription on your bank account, you're going to start seeing these things coming off the account and you can actually stop them and interact with your bank. So it's a really good housekeeping, but the bottom line is we've got to stay streetwise, just like we are in real life. We've got to stay streetwise online as well.
Yeah. Another question that's come in, Mason, on the WhatsApp line. Some online shopping sites offer to save your credit card details. Is that safe?
So there's a definite convenience factor to that.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to think for yourself is how often are you going to be shopping at that site? So here we are playing off security with the convenience of not having to type it in again. I would definitely say that the larger, more reputable sites would probably be more okay to save the credit card details because they have got the right encryption mechanisms in place. If it's a one-off, then rather don't save the credit card details there. Rather have the inconvenience of typing in the credit card every time. There's a personal convenience element, but you definitely are putting yourself at risk by putting that kind of information in someone else's hands. The larger organizations should be looking after it, though, and they do have a whole lot of protection mechanisms to encrypt your credit card number for you. But the bottom line is think twice before you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was interesting. We were speaking about cybersecurity the other day to John McLaughlin, and we were talking about, and we've just touched on it now, the preference of do you put in your credit card details to make a purchase, or do you use this thing that's relatively new, I think, where they say, oh, we can redirect you to your bank and you can put in EFT details. And I've opted for that purely, and I'm a bit embarrassed to say it now, but if I'm doing something, if I'm ordering something, in the living room and my bag's in the kitchen, I think, I can't be bothered to get up and go and get my wallet from the kitchen. I'll just put in my EFT details. And John sort of went, don't do that. And so from since then, I've made the effort to get up and go and get my credit card.
It's a convenience thing, And
yeah.
I think another point that I just thought about now while you're talking is it also comes the same convenience when you're choosing passwords on site.
So
try not to use the same password at every single new site you register, because if one of them is compromised, then they've got your password for everything. And quite often, usernames are email addresses. So then they can start looking at this email address where they're finding it on all these sites, even compromising your work environment. So people are a little bit lazy when they're choosing passwords.
Very.
So So the password is password, and then they say, well, you've got to have a number with it, and that becomes password one. And then they say, well, you've got to have a special character. So then it becomes password one exclamation mark.
Yeah.
You know, that just is not good enough.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a little trick for choosing a good password is take a couple of words and put them together instead of just one word where you're substituting an I with a one. You know,
yes.
The trackers know that kind of substitution is happening. It's not that difficult to guess that an E is going to be a 3 or whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You put a couple of words together, 3, 4 words, you know, that becomes very difficult to brute force attack. You know, it's a very easy way, and you can easily remember that sentence for yourself.
Somebody suggested, I think, the other day, take one of your favorite lines from a movie or a book that nobody would ever possibly guess that that's, you know, gonna be your password, and just use that entire, you know, three or four words in that.
Yeah.
And
great,
yeah.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good stuff. Okay. Well, hopefully those of you who are looking to part with your hard earned cash and do it online are going to be a little bit better equipped now, thanks to Mason and his advice. Mason, really appreciate your time on the show this morning. Thanks ever so much.
Thanks, Sarah Jane. We'll chat soon.